bet not. Maybe some of you are going to knock me down on the way out of church later to try to get this toilet paper. I don't know. But this is a hot demand item right now, I got to tell you. You try to buy it on Amazon, forget it. You try to go anywhere, you can't find it. You know, something that I've noticed is that the price of toilet paper has gone up. My wife saw a $148 spray can of Lysol on Amazon this morning. And at the same time as all of this is happening, precious metals are going up, right? This little piece of silver here, when I bought it, it was $14. Now it's almost $24. Just because people are buying all the toilet paper. And in the gospel lesson today, you know, we have this woman who's trying to draw water. And initially she's going for something that is not going to last. You know, it's going to be consumed and used for whatever purpose, and then she's going to have to go and get it the next day. And Jesus offers her living water, the truth that will always last, that will always be there, that will never wear out, that will never run out of it either. And so, you know, as people place a lot of value on these temporal things that will pass, that will be used, that will no longer be usable, will be spent and used up, we as believers are pointed to the scriptures and to God's promises and to that which will truly last, even as all of the toilet paper is used up. And, you know, all of this will pass and everything will come back to whatever is quote-unquote normal. Eventually, there will be toilet paper on the shelves again. The price of silver will probably go back down. And when that happens, that doesn't change the value of God's word or his truth to us. And may we use this time as something that highlights what is truly valuable in our lives. I've got a slide that I'd like you to be able to see here. I think it's the next one. Yeah, keep calm and love thy neighbor. Have you seen any of these memes going around, these keep calm things? I don't even know where they started or what their background is. Maybe I should have figured that out before putting it up on our screen, but like, I've even seen this on coffee cups and bumper stickers and keep calm and, you know, whatever the case may be. And this, in a nutshell, is what I'm hoping to encourage us in today. Keep calm and love your neighbor. We often talk about what makes the church look different from the rest of the world. Why would anybody want to sit up and pay attention to whatever truth the church has to offer? And, you know, while the community is stripping shelves in preparation to save their physical lives, the media is reporting and having a grand time doing it. And in some cases, whipping us up into a frenzy. It's important for us to compare what the world is saying to us versus what God is saying to us. And the contrast is pretty striking. The world says, every man for himself, buy all the toilet paper. I had a guy stop at my house yesterday, and if he's somehow watching, sorry. but I had a guy stop at my house yesterday to buy some honey. And he came in and he described the long line at, was it BJ's up in West Lebanon there? And that all the toilet paper was gone. And that someone had two carts, and they had lots of toilet paper in both carts, but they had left their carts to go and get something else. And he waited for a little bit, and he kind of looked around, and then he snagged a case of toilet paper off that person's cart and checked out and left with it. Right? I mean, at least he paid for it. The world says, panic. And God says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Do we believe it? The world says worry about medications, oil prices, supply chain, the government, the stock markets, the shortage of N95 masks, toilet paper, and make sure that you lay awake till at least 2 a.m. worrying about things you cannot control. God says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You probably recognize that scripture because it's something that I say to you almost every single Sunday before you head back out into the world. It's part of the benediction and the blessing. And it's worth repeating because its truth is highly applicable in whatever's happening in our lives. That peace of God that passes understanding, that's not the peace that you get by having your friend come up to you and pat you on the back and say, it's going to be okay, here you can have some of my toilet paper. That peace of God is something that surpasses our human understanding. It's something that is foreign to the world. It's something that the world deeply needs to have, especially in a time such as this. We're all familiar with that word about Jesus, Emmanuel, meaning God with us. And that's what God is promising to us in this scripture, his presence, his gift of presence. And with his presence, he brings his peace. He brings his supernatural love. He brings his power. He brings everything that we need to be able to walk through whatever is in front of us, whether it's the current crisis, or it's a terminal diagnosis, or walking through grief, or walking through financial hardship, or the loss of a job, or whatever it is in your life that's popping into your head right now, or someone else that you're thinking about that you know that is really walking through something. God's promise, if we will ask for it and draw near to him, is his peace and his presence and his deliverance. The world says you should make all of your decisions based in fear and self-preservation. When I was little, I was afraid of a lot of things. Even if I watched a movie that was a little bit too intense, I'd be up all night and it would make me physically ill. One time in the wee hours of the morning when my dad was sitting up with me, he said, you know what fear is? I said, what's that? He says, false evidence appearing real. F-E-A-R. That's always stuck with me. You know, something to take home and be able to tell someone. False evidence appearing real. So the world says, be afraid. God says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. For I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Thinking about how can the church distinguish herself from the rest of the world. It may be that the way to love our neighbor is to wash our hands, meet in small groups, and pray. But there's other ways to do it as well. And rather than seeing limited worship services and just streaming them live as a snow day on Sunday mornings, how can the church be proactive and see this as an opportunity to be Christ in the world and to the community around us? So, some practical ways that we can love our neighbor. One is just to acknowledge and to give to Jesus any fear that we might have and any temptation that we might have to turn inwardly and confess the lordship of Jesus over our own soul and body. A practical thing we can do is for folks that are elderly or immunocompromised, friends, family, neighbors, if they're staying home, make sure they have what they need. possible for them to stay home so that they don't have to sneak out to Market Basket right before they close. Check in on people. Let them know that they're not forgotten. Tell them that you love them and that you care for them and that you're praying for them. Even if they don't follow Jesus Christ yet, it's okay to tell them that you're praying for them and you want to help meet their need. Go grocery shopping for them. Leave it on their porch. Surprise people. You can find toilet paper. What a gift. Offer to do housework or help prepare a meal for families if the local school gets shut down. There's about half the school population here in Brownsville is on free and reduced lunch, which means unless the supervisor union does something to make a way for that to happen, those kids are not going to have access to that anymore. And so, compounding that, if parents are told to work from home, or if their workplaces are simply shut down, how can we help them? How can we be the church for this community, not just the church in this community? You know, maybe if adults are headed to work, their workplaces aren't closed, but the school is, and you're not too worried about catching anything, you could offer to watch some kids in your home, take care of them, or go to that person's home and help take care of those people. Meet people's needs right where they are at. Maybe you identify a group of people within the church that you really enjoy being with whom you are friends, or you know, folks that just don't irritate you too badly that you can be with them. That was a joke. And gather together with them for worship on Sunday morning. That way you still have some kind of connection with each other. And then in that group, that small group, network and talk to each other and say, what needs are we aware of, either in our church or in our surrounding community, that we could proactively seek to meet this week? Colleges are closing. College students are coming home. Are there college students that are connected with our family of faith that you could invite to come and help out with these efforts? Because they're staying home, they probably don't have a job, and they're just hanging out on social media. Something else we can do is pray for the halt of the virus. God is bigger than COVID-19. God is bigger than whatever is happening in our lives outside of that. We can pray for those that are experiencing illness. We can pray for the safety of medical personnel. We can pray for those that are working on a vaccine or antivirals. And we can pray for God's peace. If you become nervous or fearful, singing your favorite worship song or hymn is a really good thing to do. A couple summers ago, my older kids and I were hiking out of some mountains in Maine when a fierce lightning storm broke over us, and it got real, real fast. And we could see lightning striking around us, and it was moderately terrifying. And we found that as we hiked through the storm, singing God's praises in familiar worship songs was really helpful for us. And so God inhabits his praises. And so if you find yourself in that position of fear, try that. Something I also mentioned to folks in the letter was, don't become panicked by a steady diet of news media. Check it out, learn what you need to learn, and then go stack some firewood, or notice the flowers that are poking through the ground in your garden. They don't know about COVID-19, they don't care, and life is going to go on, just as surely as life comes in the spring. You know, it's something that's causing a lot of suffering and pain in the world right now, but there have been a lot of other things that have done that too, continue to do that. But it is exactly the kind of event that Jesus prepared us for in these end times. And so God gives us his grace and his power by his Spirit that would allow us to be that non-anxious presence in people's lives and in this community that meets needs and helps point others Christ. When we finally understand the reality that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us, it helps us to rise above any anxiety that we might have, and we can stretch out our hand and invite others into the embrace of the Lord. Right now, there are all kinds of extremes. People are either saying, this is nothing, you're all freaking out for no reason, or people are saying, we're all going to die. And it doesn't do any good to mock either position. What we need to do is reach out with what Jesus would say, and that is, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 54 into sort of 58 a little bit says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. I just want to close with a quote that I found particularly poignant from Bishop Andrew Williams in a communication to his clergy. He says, the body of Christ is no stranger to times of uncertainty and fear caused by war, famine, or plague. A societal panic due to a lack of confidence is always met with a different response from the followers of Jesus, and we have demonstrated, and society has noticed, our response for millennia. No doubt, as the diagnostic capacity of the medical community increases, we will see that the disease is more widespread than we previously thought. But no matter what, outbreaks of fear must be met with greater outbreaks of love. We are called to be salt and light. Jesus warned that there will always be seasons where wars, rumors of wars, and social upheaval prevail. And yet his people are to interpret information through the lens of our countercultural confidence in God's kingdom and the certainty of our own resurrection. At our best, the followers of Jesus have never run away, but instead care for each other and our neighbors. In the name of Christ. Amen. Let's stand and affirm our faith in the words of